Hallelujah. Can anybody say hallelujah? 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. A very familiar reading here. For Paul said, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Verse 5 says, for when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Chapter 4 of the same book. He said, verse 8, and we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might may be manifest in our body. For we which live are already ready, are always delivered unto death for Christ's sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. May God help me. And I won't preach tonight if the Lord will help me on this little simple thought here out of chapter 7. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. I want to preach on we need a Titus. We need a Titus. Would you stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you tonight. And I'm asking for the Spirit of the Lord to move the hand of God. Touch me and to help me. Anoint me tonight, I pray, O God. Let that spirit that breaks every yoke, that binds every power of the enemy and destroys every strong yoke of the devil, let the spirit of the living God change this man right in the atmosphere of this carnal nature of life into being a man of God chosen for the hour. I pray, God, that you would move and anoint and stir and quicken and help and take the stumbling tongue of this instrument in your hand, O God, and use it for the glory and the honor of the Son of the living God. And let every word be edifying unto the body of believers. And let the altar be ignited with the fire from on high. And let it not be just a fleshly demonstration, but oh God, let it be a holy visitation that we crave and that we long for in this service tonight. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you're able to do and what you're going to do here tonight. In the wonderful name of our Savior and Master, we pray. Can the church lift your hands and let's give him a praise all over this building tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your wonderful name. We covet your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. I feel like the setting of these scriptures where Paul was writing concerning the status of the church of Corinth, I don't know of anything at all that would perplex a man's ministry or to weigh him down would be the spiritualness of his own church. I don't know of anything that would make a preacher or a man of God feel the weight and the heaviness of the gospel to be preached and accepted as much as the people that he loves, and to watch some not accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can almost, and not really as Paul, because he was in my text, in my understanding, I would consider him the greatest preacher of the New Testament gospel. Outside of Christ himself, I feel like Paul was the chosen of the Lord Jesus to become the preacher unto the Gentile nation, to call them unto repentance and to bring them and graft them into the fold of God, who were one time dogs and outcasts, who are now made nigh by the blood of the Lamb of the Son of the living God. It's almost, have you ever been in the place, and Lord help me to preach this tonight, have you ever been in the place when you knew you was telling somebody the God's given truth and you was trying to expound unto them what the reality of the truth was, and you was trying to convey unto them that this is the gospel and that this is the way of the Lord, and this is what God chooses out of our lives, and they look at you as though there is another gospel, and they look at you as though there's another revelation, and there's something else got to be more than just this. It's got to be more than just what I'm hearing. I do not know of any other preacher in the entire writ of the New Testament gospel where Paul had more anguish and pain over one church than he had of the church of Corinth. I don't know of any other book, any other place where more blood and tears and sweat and travelings and fastings and offense of being in perplexity over the fact of trying to birth out one church into the reality of the gospel of the Lord. But sir, can I tell you, ma'am, when Paul began to preach unto Corinth, I want you to know that there was just as much devils in that day as they are in this day, who do not want you to believe and who do not want you to accept the power of the gospel, and does not want you to have recourse of the liberty of the gospel reigning in your life. Oh, can I tell you tonight, if there's ever been a day that we need to embrace the gospel, it's in this hour. And somebody say, preacher, what is the gospel? I'll tell you what the gospel is. It is the good news that there is a Savior that is alive, who still saves, who still heals, who still delivers, and who still sets the captive free. Are you hearing me in this house? There is nothing no more perplexing that could fall unto a man than that of himself to feel that he has spent himself and the gospel not go into the heart and into the lives of his people. Get me out of this trouble. Maybe it's just me, but I can just about feel the perplexity of Paul when he writes to these letters to Corinth, and he tries to tell them about the gospel that changes, about the gospel that regenerates, about the gospel that transformates, about the gospel that liberates. Oh, I just about tell you how Paul felt when he himself sat down to write a letter, and in the process of writing that letter, the anticipation and the hope and the longing that somebody's going to hear what I got to say. But can I tell you, in this house, it ain't changed from Paul unto this present day. It is still the anxious hope of every preacher that somebody is going to hear the good news, that somebody is going to fall in love with Jesus. When you sit down to write about someone you love, when you sit down to write about someone you know, it's not a myth, it's not a story, it's not an allegory, it's a fact, it's a reality. It's how he takes a blind man and gives him new eyes. This morning I combed Saul's hair, but tonight I'm a combing Paul's hair. I mean, that is the power of the gospel. Can you hear me? This morning I was looking at Saul in the mirror, but after God got done with me and opened up my eyes and got me to see where I was at, I began to look at a Paul that was standing in a mirror, and I saw the work of Calvary. It smothered me here. Are you hearing me in this house? I felt like God today, 2 or 3 times, I went away from the congregation, from those that were in the area of the waiting, and I slipped off to the chapel, and I began to plead and beg with God, would you give us a Titus experience? Would you give us a man that had come by? You know what Titus was? He was what Proverbs said 25 and 25 was. He said his good news is from a far country. He told about it. He said as cool water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Mister, can I tell you that there is 5 out of the glory world that are coming to us, that's telling us the good news is the gospel's still real, the Lord is still coming, the hope of the church is about to be revealed. That is the power of Titus' gospel. That is the power of the glorious God of eternity. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. The despondency of the preacher is that I can see those that know what the gospel is, but choose not to have the gospel. Have you ever looked at your parents? Parents, have you ever looked at your children, if I might say, and when you begin to talk to them about the do's and the don'ts, doesn't it break your heart when they look at you as though, Daddy, there's got to be something different than what you say? I'm going to tell you, if I might reiterate again, I want to take Jesus just like he is. I ain't got to add nothing to him. I love his blood. I love his cross. I love him for the pain. I love him for the anguish. I love him for the fact that he loves me. Are you hearing me in this house? I said he loves me. Oh, help me, Lord. Paul said, when we were come into Macedonia. Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You let me back up just a second. I'm preaching to you tonight strictly from my hip, if you want to call it that. I got one sentence to go on. But I felt like today that this is what the Lord would have me to say. When the burdens are heavy and when the weight of the world gets into your heart that's so heavy you can't move and it just seems like it's all bad news on every corner, can I tell you, sir, that God still has a Titus that's able to come bring good news? Did you not hear what the Word of God said? He said simply due to the fact, he said, nevertheless, God, I'll tell you what made Titus come. It was God sent Titus. I tell you, I don't know how to tell you. I don't know how many times in my life I needed God to send a Titus and to let me know the gospel's still hanging on. The glorious news is still as rich as it's ever been. Can I have a church and a Savior? Help me, Lord. Now maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe I'm putting too much emphasis upon this right here. I don't feel like I am, though. Because I feel like it's still the best news that's ever been told to the world. I'm telling you, USA Today, I don't know how long that newspaper's been in business. I don't know how long. I don't know how long the New York paper has been in business, or the Chicago Tribune, or the Chicago Times, or the Wall Street Journal. But mister, can I tell you, there's not been one paper printed that could pick you up like verse number 6 when he said, nevertheless, the God that comforted those that are cast down. Are you hearing me? Has sent Titus unto us. Will it not present a better Christ unto a dying world? If our headline says, today God has sent Titus and the message of redemption is still running wild. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, you better accept that while you can. Throw it away from you. Cast it off from you. And act like it don't mean nothing to you. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to find me a Titus. He's going to come in later. And he's going to say, preach on, preacher. There's still folks out there that's hungry for that everlasting gospel. Hey! Oh, could you see? Can you see Paul? And I must hurry. Can you see him as I see him? Can you take your mind to where he's at? Can you pull yourself to the thought? He comes into Macedonia. He remembers meetings from the church meetings. And he wishes to God some of them meetings wouldn't have been as tenuous as they were. Oh, come on now. I wonder sometimes if when he got to writing and telling about some churches were slow bellies and they want nothing going on in that church. They want nothing moving. And he said, rebuke them sharply because this saying is true. I've been there and I saw it for myself. Are you hearing me in this house? But oh, can I tell you, sir, I wonder what it was like when Paul sat down in Macedonia and he began to feel the pain and the wine. I tell you, I just feel like preaching right here. I hate that in 20 years of preaching here at this church, I hate some of my past, and your past is crossed in the wrong direction. I hate that I had to look at you and say some of the things that I've had to say. But hear me in this house. I want to tell Paul that God's got a Titus that'll come after a while and bring good news. Oh, hallelujah. I said it, bring good news at the finest word there. When he fights, he pulls, he strains, he begs, he pleads, and no altar call. Nobody responds. Nobody says yes to the glorious gospel. Oh. What is it like, preacher? I'll tell you what it's like. As though it may not look to be anything of an illustration. And you say, preacher, it's the most gruesome thing there is. I'll tell you what it's like. I've seen folks chew gum, spit it out. And they wouldn't want one of you in here. But walk over there and pick that gum up. But oh, I've watched dogs, by not knowing what it was, reach over there and grab up that gum and go to chewing on that gum and go to chewing on that gum. Oh, I know it's an ugly illustration, but it's about the way America has done to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been blessed to have it. We've been blessed to have the part of it. We have been blessed at Pentecost that bombarded our shores in the early 1900s. We were blessed at Pentecost, knocked on the door of America, and we were smart enough at one generation to swing wide the door and say, come aboard and come ride with us. I'm telling you, it birthed out a church that was willing to accept the power of the gospel. I was willing to lay aside anything and everything. But now we have crept into an air. We've got a church that's wanting to argue what the Holy Ghost says. You can't have. Oh, but can I tell you, sir? Can I tell you, ma'am? Whether you don't want it or not, there is a man out there somewhere that's going to have the gospel. There is a young lady out there who's going to shuck off the world and put on the light of God. There's a young boy out there that is teenage years. He's going to step up to the plate and become the next preacher and become the next camp meeting preacher in America. He will become the next missionary. Why is it? It's the power of the gospel. It is the power of the gospel. It didn't die because you didn't want it. You hear me? It didn't die because you didn't want it. That same life support machine. You hear me? In that intensive care unit that gives one man life and extends it until nurture comes back into his body and he's able to live. It's the same machine that the next man that was before him, prior to him, resisted the life that that machine could give and died regardless, no matter what. That's the way the gospel is, sir. Just because you cast it aside, that doesn't mean it's going to die. I'll tell you what he's going to do. The Holy Ghost is going to take that life-giving tube and he's going to find another man and he's going to put it in him and say, hey, begin to breathe, begin to live. Hey, young man, young woman, listen to this preacher. You better accept it before sin destroys and makes you hard. try to quit. I'm closing. When Paul wrote here, and he said, when we came into Macedonia, he said, our flesh. Right there. Our flesh had no rest. We tossed. We turned all night. We was restless all day. We had no rest in this flesh. But we're troubled on every side. By the time you get one fire on this side of the church down, another one springs up over here. And by the time you get one life filled with the glory and the power, another one is snuffed out and chose to walk away. Oh, trouble on every side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, a preacher called me today, and I know you're not going to like it, but a preacher called me today from another state, and I told him these words, and you can get you another preacher if you like. I told him, I said, I wish to God I could say I have never, ever sinned. I wish to God I could say I never had to ask Him help me. I wish I could stand up on 2 feet and look at Him and look at you and say, I've always been up on it. Figure that'd get your spirituality. Are you hearing me? I said, I wish I could say, I try to be as good to Him as He has been to me, but never will I match that goodness. Never will I come close, for the life that I live and that I have within myself is not even considered a flicker in the view of the light of His power, in the light of His hope, in the light of His strength, and in the light of His grace. Oh, it's not even a beginning. I cannot even, my light. Are you helping me, preacher? He said, my light would just seem to be as no light in comparison to Him who is the Father of all light. Are you hearing me in this house? But can I just about tell you in closing here how Paul felt just briefly? He said, I looked on one hand about the time I got that church settled down in the back corner. Somebody else went to messing up. And when I got that settled down, I thought our flesh was going to rest for a little bit. And then before you know it, we're back up on it and we're fighting all over again. So, instead of Macedonia becoming a recliner, it became a bed of nails. Instead of Macedonia becoming an oasis, it became a dry place. Instead of Macedonia becoming a place where I retreat to gather strength and revelation, it became a dark period of irritation where I began to become restless and pains and anguish laid hold upon me. But oh, can I tell you, sir, it is the toiling. It is the spending. It is the heart-wrenching that gets a hold of Paul when he begins to wail and weep and he begins to cry. What about the letters I wrote? Come to the piano quickly. What about the letters I wrote? What about everything I've always said? Back here I told them how to keep their marriage. Back here I told the ladies how they ought to dress. Back here I told them what they should love and what they shouldn't love. Back there I told them how a young man shouldn't touch a woman. And how come on here now. Are you hearing me in this house? He told them, I told them how to keep their marriage. And I told virgins how they were to keep themselves chaste under the coming of the Lord until God sends them a mate. Are you hearing me in this house? He told some of them, he said in the book, he said, I try to tell some of them, Lord, about the beauty and the gifts of the Spirit of God and how they're for the edifying of the church. Prophecy and gifts of tongues. Oh, but can I tell you, sir, we have got a group of people who likes to cover up a book, and that's not like what's written in the book. We have produced more Bible toters instead of Bible livers. We have produced men who can tote a book, but not live a book. Help me, Lord. Just stand with me. Hate to get you out of your comfort. But I can see Paul as anguish sets in upon him. He's frustrated. Torn to pieces. He's perplexed. He's troubled. He don't know what to say. He don't know what to do. He said, we're troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Right here. Right here. When he said we are troubled on every side, he said, yet in my fighting, it doesn't get me down. When he said, yet not distressed, he said, it's not getting me, even though I'm fighting, it's not getting me to the place where I want to quit. I wish to God some of us could get a hold of that. Anybody in this building to say amen to the fact that everybody's fighting? But are you wanting to quit because you are? He said, we're troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. What do you mean? I may be fighting, but I ain't losing focus right here where my help comes from. I may be struggling with it, and I may be toiling with something, but I'm not about to give up because I'm toiling with it. And just because sometimes I feel like my back's against the wall, he said, it's not distressing me saying, what's the use? Forgive me if this sounds too mean. And if I'm out of order, sorry. But I just want to say this. You young boys, quit threatening us. If the military is what you want, go get it. You're either going to come out of there with your head tucked between your knees, or you're going to come out of there a homo anyways. Are you hearing me? Go tell the U.S. government I said it. Are you hearing me in this house? I read the headline papers at the motel this morning. Said Congress is urging. They are urging. Asking the president to lift the ban of the don't ask, don't tell. I'll tell you something. I don't care what law they pass. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Tell you something, young boy. You walk around here with a limp wrist. What you need is a good swift kick. I told some of them boys sitting at the table one many days ago. I said, I know I'm 44 years old. I said, it ain't been many years ago I was in school.
I said, but I'm going to tell you something. I said, there ain't no boy walked around the school bragging on how gay he was. He'd find himself out in a trash can somewhere with garbage stuck in his ears and in his mouth. Are you hearing me? There was too many boys that went to school that wore a good size shoe and didn't mind using it when it was needed. Oh, you say, preacher, you're a little out of color there. That's all right. I'm not in for your gay colors anyways. I'm telling you, in this house, we're fighting things that we thought we'd never have to fight. But it ain't worth giving up over. It ain't worth backing up and retreating. It's worth the fight to keep on fighting. He said, we're perplexed. You understand what he said? We are troubled on every side. But when you're troubled, it's just like it's a nagging when you're troubled. But when you're perplexed, it's almost like it's a constant pushing. You say, preacher, what you mean by that? Catch the latter part of this. He said, perplexed, but not in despair. What does he mean by that? He means he ain't always going to push on me. Somebody's going to come after a while. Titus is going to show up. And he's going to say, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! I got something to say before I close. Are you hearing me in this house? I'd like to have a refreshing of the Holy Ghost in this building tonight, wouldn't you? Help me, Lord. But he said we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're not forsaken. He said we're cast down. He said, but we're never knocked out. E. Ralph Earle, my memory serves me correctly on that scripture, on that one setting where he said, we are cast down, but never, what? Destroyed. Never destroyed. He said, in essence, what that was that Paul was saying, he said what it literally meant was as though in a boxing match, he said, you may be hit and knocked down, but you're never knocked out. He said, you never, regardless of how much you may stumble, no matter how much the weight and the pressure is upon you, he said, you never get too far down that God's going to let the fight knock you completely out to where you can't think on where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. So if the fighter can turn his face away from the opponent and look over in the corner, there's a cheerleader over there, and it ain't a woman. It's his guard. It's his trainer. It's his keeper of his life. And he looks at him and he says, get up. Get up. Titus is in my corner. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me in this house? When Paul said, and I close, come honey. When Paul said, when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. With outward fightings, and within were fears. Going to be the outcome of this. What's going to happen here? But nevertheless, this is the hope of the gospel. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. Persecuted. But not forsaken. Cast down. Nevertheless, God, that comfort those that are cast down. Cast down, but not destroyed. That comfort those that are cast down. Comforted us by the coming of Titus. Is Joe Pike in here still? Hey, they ain't got to have all of y'all all the time. Come out of here. I want you to go out that side door. I want you to listen. I want you to come running in them double doors. And I want you to holler as loud as you can. Paul! I want you to loud as you can get. The Corinthian church has accepted the gospel. I want you to do it. I can see old Paul, anguished, distressed, tore up, troubled on every side. You get it? Paul said, I found hope when I heard they received the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You know what's going to help Bethel? It's not another camp meeting. It's not another revival. It's for a Titus to come. Go do it again. To come through the door. Come running and screaming. I mean, come running up the aisle. And let it be made known. Hey. But Paul said, where's trouble at now? Where's perplexity at now? Where's distress at now? Where's all the labor? I'll tell you where it's at. It's birthed over there in a church who's got their hands in the air. Who's just shouting hallelujah. Who's just saying thank God for the gospel that regenerates and separates and that anoints and that keeps the life on them. Can you lift your hands and love the Lord here tonight? I wish you'd praise Him. You need a Titus. God can send a Titus to your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on.
Well, He's my rock and my deliverer. He's my strength, my God, and my King. He's my shelter in the time of trouble. Yes, I look to Him for everything. He can be a mother, a father, a friend, and on Him I can always depend. All I know, whatever I need, that's just what He is. Well, He's my rock and my deliverer. He's my strength, my God. And